We're going to get into a conversation about a story that we've been talking about now for several months, and that is the situation within Hockey Canada. As we know, Hockey Canada is getting close to revealing a new board of directors, and we're also hearing now some new reports of what actually has gone on within that organization. The National Sport Organization's first ever report about Hockey Canada shows a lot of reports of discrimination, verbal taunts, insults, intimidation across all levels. This is stuff that happened on the ice. So let's get the perspective of our next guest, who's the professor of governance, law, and ethics at York University. Dr. Richard LeBlanc is joining me. Dr. LeBlanc, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for being back on the show.
Nice to be with you, Chelsea.
So, you know, it seems like we've just been getting so much information about Hockey Canada in kind of this drip-by-drip way. And now with this new report, we're hearing more about the culture as a whole, and it's not looking good, Doc.
No, it tends to be widespread. There were 415 incidents in 1 year. Across all provinces, every single province. The two provinces that were highest were Ontario and Alberta. It was across all age categories, beginning at 13 and all the way up to 18. 96% were players, 99% were male. The main two areas of discrimination, but they included others, was race and sexual orientation and gender identity. It was primarily on the rink, as you said, but it was also locker rooms, and it also involved officials, parents, coaches, and GMs. So I think what this report does is it validates what many people had suspected, which is a culture of toxicity and bullying and racial and misogynist taunting within all age categories and geographies of Hockey Canada.
You know, with the initial reports and the allegations of sexual assault, group sexual assault, really horrifying stories that came out about Hockey Canada, and then what sort of ignited this reckoning within the organization, you had people saying and arguing, you know, the boys will be boys conversation or talking point, right? And I think you're going to have the same issue here. You're going to have the same arguments here, saying, well, this is a sport, and you know, there's going to be chirping, and there's going to be a little bit of back talk. Can you help separate the fact that this issue that's outlined in this report is different from innocent, you know, just yelling at each other as players in a competitive sport way?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's athletics. There's a lot of testosterone and competitiveness, etc. But I think, you know, if you went to any company or any courtroom or classroom and you did these types of things, it would be simply unacceptable. And, you know, the boys will be boys argument is, imagine arguing that in a company. Imagine using a racial epithet in a company and just saying boys will be boys. So sports have gotten a free pass. And you know, as a result, it's been exclusionary. Hockey's been perceived as being an elitist, and some have said it's the price of equipment. But you know, it really is a upper to middle to working class white male sport, and that's not the future of the sport. So we find that there are exclusionary rather than inclusionary practices that you know, if boys will be boys, it's not good for the future of the game, and it gives. I mean, this is our national game. When you get a report like this that of such widespread abuse, you know, the tone starts with the top, and the tone starts with the board of directors. So it's not like the current board, you know, didn't know this was happening. It obviously did, but I just don't think it had the background or the competencies to be able to reform it. We've had these practices now in companies, you know, whistleblowing, codes of conduct, EDI policies, background checks, no alcohol, no cannabis policies, proper investigation, ombudspersons, databases, compliance. We've had this now for 20, 25 years, and somehow sporting has been immune from this. And I know because I help many sporting organizations, and you know, they're fond of putting people on the board that have a connection to the sport. Like right now in Hockey Canada, all but one director has a connection to the sport, and that's not really going to reform. You want to get, and this is what the justice said. You want to use a competency matrix to get people on the board, and this is the incoming new board of Hockey Canada that have actually got experience with these sorts of things and have got turnaround experience and have got corporate corporate experience as well. So I think this argument of boys will be boys, it's too little too late. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna pass with Canadians.
Yeah, and I mean, I think people rely on that because, as you mentioned, it is Canada's national game and it is close to our hearts. And I don't think that we really want to have to acknowledge that something that we feel represents us culturally can be marked with such toxicity and negativity and ugliness. So just clarify then for us, Doc, where do things stand on the board?
Well, the new board is, there were over 500 applicants, which tells you how passionate Canadians are mm-hmm. about the sport. And the new board will be announced December 17th. It's a new board of nine. And so the nominating committee of Hockey Canada, the Supreme Court Justice has instructed them to use a competency matrix and to have one person affiliated with hockey, and to have diversity, to have inclusion, to have term limits. I mean, all of basically corporate best practices. So we are expecting that this board will be wisely chosen and selected, and it will be an all-star board that can turn around the situation. It's a board of nine. So on December 17th, this board will be announced, and if the nominating committee does its job properly, it will be individuals from all walks of life, diverse backgrounds, and most importantly, Chelsea, people with governance, financial, and inclusiveness expertise who can really push some of these best practices into rinks, arenas, and locker rooms.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to come from diverse backgrounds, certainly be intelligent members of our community that can uphold, I think, the expectation from a lot of Canadians in terms of what Hockey Canada should transform itself into. I mean, there's a lot of pressure and certainly a lot of attention on this organization to make some real impactful change. When it comes to this report, the Hockey Canada says that there were more than 900 documented or alleged incidents of on-ice discrimination. I'm wondering if you can clarify then, were there penalties for any of these issues of discrimination? What happened in any of these?
Yeah, there were 512 penalties. I'm not sure whether that was, you know, I used to play hockey, a 2-minute penalty or a major or a minor. There were 415 allegations. 75 resulted in suspensions. But, you know, a 2-minute penalty, you know, you take a 2-minute penalty and then your behavior doesn't change. I think what we want here is, and hatred and discrimination is a learned behavior. You don't go from the age of 9, 11, 13, 15, 18. You learn that. So you are learning from your peers. Mm-hmm. You may be learning from your parents. You may be learning from volunteers. You may be learning from coaches. So I think when you look at Greater Toronto Hockey League, and I'm using that as an example, they were a former client of mine. They had a similar issue last year, and they came out with a report, an EDI inclusiveness report on how to turn this around. I think it was a 1,500-page report, and basically they're relying on peer, on education, on communication, on EDI initiatives. You know, this is primarily education and communication and conveying to players that using the N-word or using the F-word is simply unacceptable. It results in exclusion, and it's hurtful. It's hateful. So you in a testosterone game, to use my word from earlier, and boys will be boys to use your word, there's certain forms of conduct that are completely unacceptable in 2022. Mm-hmm. And this is not about, you know, the thought police or political correctness. This is about human rights, and it's about diversity. It's about inclusion. And all of corporate Canada has kept up from the late teens to the early 2020s, and sports has not. So I think there's an opportunity here for learning and for making this a better game for Canadians. So I think this new board certainly has the top two things it should be doing. It has to find a new CEO, number one, and number two is it's got to do a post-mortem analysis on culture and on diversity, inclusion, and ethics, and treating people properly. That really is the blueprint for the future of the game. So this nine-person board really has a lot of work ahead of it.
I want to get your opinion really quick on a text that we had that just came in during our conversation saying, why is your guest comparing 13 to 18-year-old boys to a company? Are you talking about the expectations that we would accept as okay or reasonable within the workplace? They say the society needs to toughen up. What do you say to
well,
that?
Well, they're minors, right? And they're minors that are accountable to their parents and they're accountable to their guardians. So the habits that you form when you are growing up carry with you. And that's when formulation occurs. Like there used to be even a song, and I'm 56 years old, I used to learn a song, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, when I was young. Mm-hmm. And I would and we would play this in locker rooms. So, you know, just because you're underage doesn't mean that there's an absolving of responsibility. There's a responsibility to educate athletes on inclusion and on proper treatment of others. What you don't want is these 18-year-olds who have matured with improper habits carrying these habits, and that's at the cost of Hockey Canada. They carry these misogynist, racist habits, and then there's sexual misconduct and sexual assault. So you want to get it from a sort of young age, and this is not about taking the place of the parents. This is about human rights and dignity and fair treatment of others.
Doctor, thank you so much for your perspective. Always appreciate you being on the show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Chelsea.
Take care.